You're listening to a podcast on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Green Gab Podcast, a place to gab with people rocking it in green. Green homes, green living, and green companies. Join Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach and author of Living Green Effortlessly, Simple Choices to a Better Home, and Tony Pratt, the director of builder relations at The Sound Room. Here are your hosts, Marla and Tony.
We are on the Green Gab Podcast. I'm Marla Esser-Close, the green home coach, and I'm here today with my co-host and friend.
Co-host.
And co-host.
It's Tony Pratt with The Sound Room. Hi, Marla. Can you believe we've got over a year's worth of material now?
I know. It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
I just realized that a few minutes ago. By the time this one hits the air, it will be over a year's worth of podcasts.
I know. Yeah, wow. Over 40 podcast episodes.
Time flies.
Man, when we get through with March, we'll be almost up to 60.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a marathon, but it'll be fun.
So we have a guest who's on the line with us, Carrie Langley from Project TCO. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
So I'm going to finish my thought because I just left a lot of people hanging here. So the reason we're going to get so many more podcasts, we're recording this one in February. It'll air later in the year, but we're recording in February. But in March, we're doing something really cool and really different. We're going to actually be live podcasting on the show floor at the St. Louis Home and Garden Show. So we've got a whole bunch of people that we're going to bring into the booth and actually record podcasts live on the show floor. So it's going to be really fun. So anyway, that's what I was alluding to.
4 days straight of recording.
Yeah. It won't be nonstop, but it'll be a lot.
Oh, I'll be talking pretty much nonstop between podcasting, our booth down there, seeing clients down there.
This is true.
Yeah, you won't want to talk to me for like the week after.
Oh, good thing I'm not staying around then.
It is, because I'd be doing a lot of sign language and not all of them kind.
Oh, gosh. So there you go. So that's what we were talking about. So Carrie, oh my gosh, you and I met at a conference. I think I meet a lot of people at conferences. Gosh, it's been 3 or 4 years ago, hasn't it?
Yes, it was an EBA conference.
It was EBA. We got to think what EBA is. Environmental and Energy Building Alliance, I think is what it is.
That's right. And I'm trying to remember where that was.
Phoenix.
It was in Phoenix. That's right. It was in the beautiful desert Southwest. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
But you and I got a chance to talk about what you're doing, and I was so fascinated with this. So start off by telling us what, number one, what Project TCO stands for and what you're doing, what you're up to.
Okay. Well, Project TCO, what it stands for, obviously project is, I guess we could have a definition for project, but project is, it stands for whatever it is. It's my thing. TCO is the interesting part, and it stands for total cost of ownership. And specifically in my world, what TCO stands for is total cost of home ownership, and basically looking at what a home buyer is going to experience as far as not just the mortgage payment side of owning a house, but the entire expense associated with it, which would include the mortgage payment if they had one, their taxes, their insurance, their utility expense, their maintenance expense, water expense. I've even gone as far as to include community expenses if that's an attribute that is important to a buyer or seller. So we lump it all together. We look holistically at the cost of owning a house so home buyers can compare the cost of house A versus house B.
Wow. So your total disclosure, there is nothing hidden by the time you're done with it.
I'm a number crunching fool. The program that I wrote is a big, massive Excel spreadsheet. And if you have a criteria or you have a variable that is associated with a house that we can compare to a second house or to a group of houses, we can include it in there. So yes, sir, total disclosure is what we're looking at. If it's a concern and it's a variable that we can use to differentiate the cost of house A versus house B, we have the ability to include it in our numbers. Yes, sir.
That is cool.
It is cool. It's totally cool.
And I mean, how many of us really have any idea what our home costs?
The true cost, the full cost.
I mean, I'm assuming, Carrie, that you could even, put in what I call the hassle factor. So if I have to wait around for a long time to get something repaired or maintained, or it's a lot of work to maintain, is there a way to even include that?
I haven't had anybody ask me for that before, but
leave it to me.
But in all seriousness, I had a builder in upstate New York in Syracuse ask me to include, she was building some net zero energy homes in a development style, which is called a pocket neighborhood. And evidently there was a great deal of interest in her market for electric vehicles. And so she wanted to see the average commuting expense of having two, because these homes had two car garages and they were in the 400s as far as the price point. So the expectation was that we would have two, at least two occupants that were driving age. And so she wanted to see what would happen if we included the cost in the cost of the home of a high speed EV charger, number one, and then how did it impact the commuting expense of the occupants if we replaced one of the internal combustion cars with an EV car. So we can drill down pretty far. So if there's a way to monetize the hassle factor, I can add 2 + 2 and put it in a spreadsheet. So sure, it may sound crazy, but I can sure as heck do it. Sure.
I think I've been challenged.
You tell me how to identify it. I would imagine if you were an attorney or a CPA or somebody who is used to billing their life by hours, we could figure out a hassle factor for them. The rest of us, you know, everybody thinks our time is free, so who knows.
I work at home, so everybody kind of assumes, oh, well, you're at home, so you can just be around to do this stuff or wait on people. And
yep.
It's like, yeah, but if I can't work, I'm not productive.
Right.
And I'm not productive, I'm not earning a living. And I love serving people, but I also love to eat. And
right.
I don't really want to put that responsibility on my husband's shoulders alone.
Right.
There's a balancing act.
If there's a way to compare, if you were selling a home and it was advantageous to exploit from a monetization or from a number side, this particular feature or benefit of your house, we sure as heck could include it in the analysis.
I got it. You mentioned earlier numbers were in your world. So what is your world?
I've been in the mortgage banking world since 1984. So we're approaching.
Man, they start you in kindergarten?
1985. No, I'm old as the devil.
No, you're not.
It's funny. I was talking to a guy. I had a meeting this morning with a builder, and I was talking to his business development guy. I haven't seen him in about a year, and he has a beard, a pretty substantial beard, has a little bit of salt and pepper to it. He's probably in his 40s. And he said, I thought you had a beard. I said, I had a beard till somebody said I looked like Santa Claus. So yes, I've been in the mortgage banking world for over 30 years, and that's what I do. I think the last count, and I kind of probably stopped counting a few years ago, I've personally negotiated about $1.3 billion, $1.4 billion in mortgage loans, and this is how Project TCO got born. I was challenged by a energy efficient high performance program here in Atlanta, high performance home program here in Atlanta called Earthcraft House. I live in Atlanta, and for the last 8 years, I've been working almost exclusively on it. I mean, obviously I have to originate loans to pay my bills, but I spend most of my day working on this.
So Earthcraft challenged you to do what?
At the time, it was 2008. The economy was not great in Atlanta. The housing economy was very bad in Atlanta. And Earthcraft is a green building certification program or high performance home certification program. And they had done a great job of selling the dream of high-performance homes to the home building community here in Atlanta. Earthcraft is actually a joint venture between a real serious home performance think tank called Southface Institute and the Atlanta Home Building Association. And so they sold this to the home builder neighborhood very well. In the early 2000s, they'd have done anything because they were all just printing money here. And 2008 came around. The market had grinded to a halt. There were about 1,000 houses sitting on the market in the $400,000 to $600,000 price point. They were all Earthcraft certified, and the people at Earthcraft didn't know how to help the builder sell them. You know, when they asked about this, I met one of their folks, and they said, "This is what you do, right?" And I said, "Yeah, I didn't know what a greenhouse was, but I'm an analytical kind of guy." They said, "Well, maybe you could help us put this together." So the first thing I did was find out what a high performance home was. And the second thing I did was go out and talk to the real estate agents that were marketing the homes, and they knew less about high performance homes than I did. And I found that to be an interesting challenge. So we kind of moved on down the road and figured out what we thought was a pretty good solution.
Okay. So hold that thought, because I want to dive into what that solution is, but let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
$20 24 Legacy features a new hero, a new day, a completely new cast, but also tons of new 24 fans. It's time to participate with all of them over at 24LegacyFans.com. That's 24LegacyFans.com.
Wouldn't it be cool if your advertising could last forever? It can with perpetual advertising. Here's how it works. Unlike TV or radio ads, where every instance the ads are broadcast, they're only played once and lost forever. Perpetual advertising can have repeat exposure and replayability weeks, months, and even years after they're inserted in a podcast. So even if a podcast is a few years old, your ads will still be impactful to repeat listeners as well as new listeners. This gives your advertising dollar the most bang for the buck. Find out more about perpetual advertising at twoguystalking.com/sponsors.
Thought about a career in voiceover? Need a great, cost-effective on-hold message for your organization or business? Don't know where to start? Check out The Voice Farm, your one-stop shop for voiceover needs. Check it out now by accessing The Voice Farm at voicefarmers.com. And see what difference can be made with a company that is truly outside the box. From the Voice Box, voicefarmers.com. That's voicefarmers.com.
Yep, we're gabbing here today with Carrie Langley of Project TCO, Total Cost of Ownership. Oh, I love it. I love it. Because we so often do not see those hidden costs.
Well, it's not only that. Most people don't factor in the operation cost of the house. They just think, you know, my mortgage payment and that's it.
And then we wonder why people are having to choose between, you know, especially lower income folks or post an affordable sector of housing, why they're choosing between paying their utility bills and eating.
Right.
Not a situation we want to be in. So yeah, total cost of ownership really matters. It matters if you're renting or you're buying, honestly, just different factors to come into the equation. So, Carrie, you are helping people get their arms around this, and you were telling the story of how you were working with Earthcraft Homes in the Atlanta area back when the recession first hit, and you were helping them to sell these Earthcraft certified homes, which are green certified homes. So how'd you do it?
What we basically did was, once, as I mentioned in the earlier part of our conversation, is I didn't know what a high performance home was. I mean, I've done lots and lots and lots of mortgage loans in my career, and I thought a house was a house was a house.
Yeah, most people think that.
Right. Well, that's what they did. And so, you know, to me, what made a better house? Hardwood floors and granite countertops like everybody else, right? So the people at Earthcraft were kind enough and persistent enough, because I'm not going to tell you that I jumped up and down and said, this is where I should be doing. You know, they convinced me. And if I had a brain, I would have said no, but that's another story. But in all seriousness, they invited me to a number of their home builder training classes. And one day I used to journal in these little leather bound books. I've probably got 200 of them. Now I journal on an iPad, but I used to journal this. And one day the speaker, and this was probably the third time through the class, kind of defined a high-performance home as a home where all of the components that impact the performance of the home, let's call them systems for the lack of a better term, they are combined holistically. They're not on a scale of 1 to 10, let's get a 10 air conditioning and a 10 insulation and the rest doesn't matter. It was what combination made the most sense, which is a little bit contradictory to the way most people think.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think, oh, you want to get your air conditioning bills lower, you put a whole lot of insulation, or you put a better in, you know, they don't understand the little things that go into it. I didn't either. Well, once they got that to me, and I wrote down on this journal that I was writing on, I said, if you can make that much of a difference changing the performance of a house by looking at it holistically, why is not the solution to look at the financial side holistically? So basically what we did was we looked at it and said, let's look at every component that we could possibly look at where we can impact the financial side of owning a house. And so we replaced the traditional purchase price, mortgage payment, down payment conversation with total cost of ownership. And that includes an optimization of the performance, obviously the maintenance expense. It also includes an optimization of how the mortgage is structured. It looks at the last count. I think that there are about The software looks at about 51,000 different iterations. And so I have a real fast idiot on my hands that can do lots of calculations faster than I can do them on a calculator.
So wow.
It's cool.
So what all does it take into account when it's doing those 51,000 iterations?
It takes into account anything somebody wants it to take into account, but right out of the box. It takes into account everything that is the typical mortgage conversation, you know, interest rate, loan term, mortgage interest structure, the mortgage insurance structure, the fees that are associated with the loan. Then we go over to, in most cases, the energy performance is a function of a HERS rating or some other type of rating standard that we can monetize. And we figured out how to monetize the HERS rating. So we look at the HERS rating, sometimes it's water expenses. We mentioned earlier, we were talking sometimes it's commuting expense. So you would have automobile related expenses. We just take into everything that a consumer could consider as a variable when making a housing purchase decision.
Wow. So how do you communicate all that? That's a lot of knowledge, a lot of information.
And, well, it's funny you say that. I'm married to a real estate agent who is a brilliant communicator. She hates numbers, but she's a brilliant communicator. I'm a really good numbers guy, but I'm probably not a brilliant communicator. When I first wrote this program, for lack of a better word, it was the spring of 2008. And I had a meeting with the folks at Earthcraft where I was going to lay this thing on the table and show it all to them the following day. And I came walking downstairs at the time we lived in a two-story house. And I came walking downstairs and I said, here it is. I'm going to change the world. And I threw this 58-page report on the table in front of my wife. And she said, and it had graphs and charts. I mean, it would make your eyeballs pop out, right? And she said, what are you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to change the world. She goes, you're not leaving the house with that. I said, what? She goes, no, you're going to chase everybody in the whole world. I have no idea what that is, but you're not leaving the house with that. So the next day, I said, well, I don't have a choice because I've been working on this forever, and I've got this meeting tomorrow morning, so I've got to go with it, right? So I went and I ate lunch with six guys at the Earthcraft program. They were part of the Earthcraft program, and I showed it all to them. We were at a sports bar, and half of them were watching basketball or football or something, whatever the sport was. I guess it was basketball. And I showed it to them, and I said, look at this. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And they all flipped through like two pages, put it down, and they ordered their lunch. And so how do I communicate it? I communicate it in all seriousness. I've learned some lessons the hard way. Like I said, it started off being a very lengthy type of thing. The analytics are very detailed, and I can mine just about any data I want out of this program. But what I do now is typically I have a one or two pager. So we've gotten a little down from 58 pages, and it is opportunity specific. So for instance, if the conversation is we are talking to a home builder like I was this morning about why should I build a high performance home in a marketplace where, you know, it is not the same. I mean, in the Atlanta market, there's not a lot of high performance home activity. There's surely not, it is not a differentiator in the consumer's mind. They don't walk in and say, what's your HERS score? Well, in this particular guy's case, it turned out that he was very money motivated, which most home builders probably should be. And we showed him a way to do his current business by interjecting the opportunity to look at homes as a high performance home, perhaps. And we haven't got all the analytics because we got to meet with a HERS rater and do some more number crunching, increase his bottom line profit about $500,000 a year. That got his attention.
Wait. I'd like you to repeat that for any business owners or builders that happen to be listening to this podcast. Say that again, Carrie.
Okay. This particular builder, let me just expand on it just a tad since you stopped me.
Okay.
This particular builder builds about 150 houses a year.
Okay.
The average price point, $425,000. That's mid to upper price point in Atlanta. It's surely not in the bottom, and it's surely not the top. And the initial thing out of his mouth was, what's it going to cost me to do this? And I said, well, actually, it's not going to cost you anything to do this. If we've determined that your cost of doing business, the cost to make these improvements is where they should be like any other cost. In other words, his estimated or his average profit, gross profit margin was about 20%, which is not out of line for most builders. We figured out on his 150 houses that he could increase his bottom line gross profit margin before his GS&A and before he takes his salary out, his Porsche and all that fun stuff that builders like to do, about $500,000. It was a delta or an increase in his profits of about $500,000 before he started spending money.
So that's about $3,300 a house based on 150 houses. That's not bad.
And to expand it where it gets totally crazy, I have a HERS Raider client in Dallas, Texas, who was doing some work with the largest home builder in the country, the R. Horton, and we did the same analytics for them, and the delta to them was about $115 million in additional gross profit.
Wow.
And when you're a publicly traded company, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I thought it was a big deal, yeah.
Green's only expensive then if you're not doing it.
That's the way I look at it. But once again, that's not the way people look at it. Most builders, and this may be an overgeneralization, most builders think of home performance systems or building techniques as an expense item. I had an epiphany probably, I don't know, 6 months ago when I was just sitting around thinking about it one day. And I thought, wait a minute, if I increase the price of the house $10,000 to make this house, you know, a HERS 50 versus a HERS 90 or whatever the number is, why am I not looking at this from a gross profit margin on that $10,000? Why is that not part of the conversation? So since I own the software, it became part of the conversation.
Okay, so hold that thought. I have something I want to explore, but let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Everyone's wanted to start a blog, but who wants to start one all on your own? Take your interest in creating a blog to the next level by getting bit by the Blogger's Bug. Blogger's Bug is a blogging community that allows you to polish your blogging skill set today. Log on today at bloggersbug.com and get bit by the Blogger's Bug. bloggersbug.com. That's bloggersbug.com.
Looking for a straightforward user interface and a cost-effective, feature-filled multi-track recording software? Call off the search! Mixcraft from Acoustica has exactly what you're looking for. It's time to include reliable audio creation and editing software with real punch into your projects. Check out Mixcraft now over at acoustica.com/mixcraft and start a new generation of audio creation and editing today.
Conspiracies, by definition, require more than one person to be involved. After many years of wanting to have more than one person interested in having something conspiracy-based on the network, a rally at the new Two Guys Talking podcast studio has finally made it happen. Two Guys Talking is proud to announce a new program on the Two Guys Talking podcast network. Conspiracy Agents, hosted by Kevin Hawthorne, which will provide outstanding conspiracy and mystery-based content that will bring yet another flavor of podcast-based ice cream to the Two Guys Talking Network. Check it all out now at conspiracyagents.com as another new year of captured perspective here at Two Guys Talking begins. That's conspiracyagents.com. conspiracyagents.com.
Hey, we're still gabbing with Carrie Langley of Project TCO, Total Cost of Ownership, and we are getting into some meaty conversations here.
A lot of numbers floating around now.
Yeah, but you know,
a lot of numbers.
But this is what counts. I mean, when we bought our house a few months ago, Carrie, I think you and I talked about this. We were looking at an existing home and a brand new home. And the brand new home has a HERS rating on it. It's built by a builder that does a local energy efficient program. And then we looked at this 11 or 12 year old home, but built to code. And when we started running the numbers, we pulled the utility costs, the insurance costs, the taxes, the mortgage. And even though the new house was quite a bit more, it was about 10% more, our monthly costs were lower in the new house.
Sure. And they probably ought to be. I find it interesting that there's certification programs, and I'm not one to judge certification programs because I don't design them. But there are certification programs that kind of scratch the surface. And then there's some that get to the point where you've invested the right amount of money to get the right amount of performance. And some of them where they don't meet even the Energy Star standards. And, you know, they get the HERS all the way down to 80. You know, wow.
Okay, wait. Let me put that in context for our listeners that aren't familiar with HERS.
It's not good.
A standard new built house today is 100. Standard older home that's 15 to 20 years old is typically 120 to 140 ish, Gary. Does that sound right?
Yeah. The Department of Energy says 130. So you're right there. Yep.
So for an 80, it's a little bit better. But it's not difficult to get down to a 60 or a 50 with a little bit of planning. And not a lot of money, more planning than money. So that that's why I'm just putting it in context.
Yeah, planning and construction techniques. And a lot of people think, oh, you got to do $20,000 on the solar panels, or you got to spend 50 grand on a geothermal system, or you know, stuff like that. They think that way. But I have people who are smarter than me at the planning side who say, you know, we can knock off 20% reduction in the HERS rating with some tape, some caulk, and some education.
And caulk is one of your best friends in a well-built home.
Oh, absolutely.
You seal it all up. But at any rate,
there's a hole, you seal it.
I know. But you're right. And, you know, a friend of mine who's a green architect for homes down in Texas, who I think you've actually met with me, Carrie, but he refers to all that stuff that we patch onto a house or attach to a house to make it green bling. And there is a place for that. There definitely is a place for that. And it may fit in the system of what you're designing, but it may not and doesn't have to be there. And I think that is the misnomer that you're talking about, that so many people think the only way to be green is to have solar panels, or the only way to be green is to have a really super advanced heating and cooling system like a geothermal system. And it's not.
Right.
Most of what makes a greenhouse green is common sense and quality building practices.
And not sexy, and
it
usually
isn't.
Behind the wall. Behind
it
the
isn't.
Wall. And a lot of people don't understand, how can something be so incredibly cool and nobody can see it?
That's why a lot of builders have started building the see-through walls in their demo units and stuff, so people can see what's behind the wall.
Sure.
Okay, now you've got this great tool to help people understand the financial implications of investing right, you know, right size investing, and making a much nicer gross profit margin from it. And then how do you use that to help them sell it, to sell this whole concept?
Well, I'm a sales guy. So to me, nothing matters till it gets sold, because until you sell it, you've proved nothing other than the fact that you're a good scientist. Well, that's great. But we generate out of the TCO software. The software is actually copyrighted as High Performance Lending, but we use the name TCO and High Performance Lending interchangeably. What we do is we model the competition that our subject house is going to have in the marketplace. So you use the reference number, HERS 130, for an existing home that you were looking at in your market. So what we do is we look at four different houses. We do the analytics for four different houses. We look at a existing home, and we use as a threshold a HERS 130 number. Then we look at the current home that the home builder is building. And this meeting I had this morning in the state of Georgia, Georgia Power, our largest utility here, largest electric utility, has done a whole lot of research. And the average HERS rating of an existing code-built house in Georgia is 91. And then we take it from there and we say, how far can we go? How far can we go reasonably? In the conversation I had this morning, the illustration that we used was the HERS 130, the HERS 90, and then we looked at a HERS 65 and a HERS 50. We make some assumptions as to what the incremental cost of those improved HERS scores are going to be. So, you know, whether it's 10,000 or 20,000 or whatever the number is. And then we run the analytics. When we get to the last one is where it gets the most fun to me, because that's where we usually throw in the optimization of the mortgage terms. That 51,000 iterations that I mentioned to you earlier is basically the magic that I've learned from 30 years of doing mortgage lending. And so we look at the structure of the financing to squeeze as much as we can. The mindset being, if we build a better house, why not finance it better? And the numbers get really attractive when you optimize everything.
Okay, so we have this thing happening with builders right now where they're like, and even with codes, as codes are moving up, builders are saying, oh, we can't add more expense. We can't add more expense. Because we'll knock too many people out of the home buying market. Got it. But how do we help builders understand that it's not just the cost of the house? I mean, how do we get them to look at what you're doing?
Well, I go to a whole lot of conferences every year, and I tell them. I'm a firm believer, as my mom told me. My mother is a Southern Belle, and she's about 5 feet tall and carries a real big stick. And she said, sometimes you just got to bang somebody in the head until we get it. And so, my mom is totally awesome. But seriously, that's the long and the short of it is, it's easy to identify the consumer's benefit. It's easy to identify the real estate agent's benefit. It's easy to identify the builder's benefit. But the whole point of it is nothing happens until we put it in front of somebody to the point where they take action. So what I do is I spend a whole lot of time selling the dreams. So I'm not going to tell you that the whole world has fallen in love with it yet, but I can tell you the people that take the time to listen to it, their eyeballs get a little bigger around than they were when I first started.
Well, I do know, I'm not sure if it's by law or what, but builders are not allowed to talk about what it costs to operate the house with the homeowner or savings in the mortgage. No, they have to partner with a mortgage provider, but the mortgage provider can talk about it because we've had this conversation.
How can a mortgage provider talk about the operational cost of a home? They don't know it.
You know, this is one of the things we used to talk about on Green Building Steering Committee. Remember Ron Kaufman?
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah, name from the past. He was the one that first told me this. This was years ago. He could talk about it, but the builder couldn't.
Carrie, have you heard of that?
No, I haven't, but let me add some clarification from my perspective. The current regulatory environment, as far as mortgage lending is concerned, basically says that a licensed or registered, in our world, that's basically the same. It just depends on who you work for. A licensed or registered mortgage lender or mortgage originator is the only person that should be having a conversation with somebody about the terms of a mortgage loan.
Okay.
I'm talking about detail, driving it, drilling it down to here's what your payment's going to be, here's your interest rate, you know, here's all that stuff. So I would say that's partly correct there. The part that's interesting is mortgage lenders, myself included, I don't have absolute data to tell somebody what their performance costs are going to be. So what I do is I take a HERS rating and I say, here's what the HERS rater says, because the HERS rater has the training, has the credentials, has the provider looking over their shoulder to say, hey, here's what it's going to cost to operate this house. Then we take it one step further and we put an energy guarantee on every deal that we do so that we say, okay, here's the calculations or the estimates for the operating expense for your house. And then here it is underwritten and backed by a $1 billion company that says, yep, they're going to make sure that that's what it is. So as a lender, you know, my lender hat, I'm not communicating, yeah, I know what your operating expense are going to be. What I do is I bring in the professionals that do that for a living.
Right. But I do know this was, forgive us, this is like 2006, 2007.
Yeah, it may have changed.
When
right.
These conversations were first coming on, and this was an early Bank of America green building loan that they were trying out. And while he was trying to sell that to the builders, he was like, look, I can talk about this stuff that you really can't talk about with your homeowners. So I'm wondering if that's still the case where really the builder needs the mortgage professional who understands the high-performance loans and the high-performance houses and what the potential savings are by building that house.
With our houses, when we were comparing them, I had to have my husband call because I was not yet a customer. But if you're a customer of the utility, at least in the state of Oklahoma, you could call that utility and ask for an average utility bill, gas or electric, mm-hmm. depending what you wanted, for any house. You know, you just called
really?
Up and said, I don't know if it was just specific to Oklahoma City or what, but we called up and we said, we'd like to know what the electric bills are and the gas bills are on blah, 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 blah address. And then we asked our builder for another home that was the same plan as ours and called and got that one. But you had to be a customer and you had to tell them, you know, hey, we're looking to buy a new house and we're comparing electric bills or gas bills. But that's how we got the costs.
Mm.
And now we're tracking it this year before we're trying to track it for a full year before we make any changes so we can see how it's performing. But I still want to call our HERS rater. I have some questions for him about how the HERS ended up at what it was. Because I'm just curious how they do it.
Good information.
Yeah, it's been a definite learning process. So here's what I want to do, because we're about ready to wrap up here, Carrie. If you can send me some links that we can post on the podcast notes so people can come check out what you're doing. And I don't know if you have like a sample case study that we can post or a link to it that people can see, you know, like the comparisons, or if you have something like that. But that would be really cool if you do.
Well,
I may have just created
fact,
more work for you.
No, I don't mind, because it was work that I needed to do anyway. The good news is by the time you're ready to publish this podcast, the new website that I'm building will be up and going, and I'll make sure that you have links to it so that your people can look at it.
Ah, so listeners, you're going to get the brand new stuff. Cool.
Yeah, it's all brand new.
Nice. I love it. So give us your parting shot, Kerry. How do you want to sum this up? What do you want to leave our listeners with?
Before we started, you asked me why I do this, and I'll sum it up this way. Everybody, I don't care, rich or poor, red and yellow, black and white, doesn't matter to me. Everybody deserves an opportunity to optimize their financial life. And with the house being, in most cases, the biggest investment somebody makes, I can't ever believe that what we're doing with Project TCO is important for everybody to take a look at. Because paying attention to the total cost of owning a house sets yourself up to pay attention to how you're going to fund your kids' education, how you're going to fund your retirement, you know, how you're going to fund your going out and having fun.
Hey,
and
your life. So,
yeah, well, that's exactly right. And we think it's crazy important to pay attention to this. People spend hours and hours and hours shopping for an automobile, and they spend 15 minutes on the phone talking to a guy about a mortgage. I think maybe we could invest maybe 16 minutes on the phone talking to a guy about a mortgage and maybe get some real benefits out of it.
There you go. There you have it. Well, Kerry, I can't thank you enough for sharing what you're doing with our listeners at the Green Gab podcast. And we look forward to seeing how you are changing the world.
Thanks.
Definitely with a smaller report this time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like I said, if I walk out the door with any more than 2 pages, I get in trouble.
We don't want you to get in trouble.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Well, everyone, y'all can catch us on iTunes. The Green Gab podcast is at greengabpodcast.com or greenhomecoach.com. Thank you for joining us and have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Green Gab podcast and for joining us on our own personal green odyssey as we change the world one Green Gab podcast at a time. What did you learn about during this episode? Tell us now by visiting our website at greengabpodcast.com. And remember to connect with us via iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter. The links to do all of this are at our website, greengabpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, but more importantly, thanks for rocking it in green.